At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
The liberal globalist order is on its brink and awakening a new conservative age. I'm Dr. Steve Turley. Join me every day as we discover answers to today's toughest challenges and explore the revitalization of conservative civilization. This is Turley Talks. The polls, the polls. Democrats and their allies in the legacy media have a new fabricated fraud they're both pushing. They want their dwindling audience to believe that Trump's poll numbers are cratering. They want you to think that Americans are experiencing voters' remorse and are clawing back to the Democrats and begging them to stop Donald Trump. Just one problem. Even CNN is admitting that hoax is indeed a hoax.
Democratic brand right now has about the appeal with the American voter as the Cracker Barrel rebrand has with the American consumers. Bad, bad, bad. What are you doing? Oh, my goodness gracious. What are we talking about here in terms of big party registration changes in the key swing states? Let's look at the key four swing states that, in fact, do keep track of registration by party. Look, the Republican Party is in their best position at this point in the cycle since at least 2005 in all four of these key battleground states. We go out to the Southwest, Arizona. How about Nevada? Republicans haven't done this well since 2005. Oh, my goodness gracious, at this point in the cycle. North Carolina, I couldn't find a point at which Republicans were doing better at this point in the cycle. It's at least this century. It probably goes way back in the last century. And Pennsylvania, very similar. Republicans doing better at this point than at any point this century, at least as far as I could find. Now, what types of gains are we talking about here for the Republican Party? Well, let's compare it to this point during the first Trump administration all the way back in 2017. Look at this. The Republican Party gains in party registration compared to this point back in 2017 during the Trump first administration. In Arizona, you got a Republican gain of 3 points. Okay, how about Nevada? Up the hill we go, even though we're sticking in the Southwest. A gain of 6 points. How about, again, we come to the East Coast, North Carolina, a gain of 8 points for the Republicans. And in the Keystone State in the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, again, we're talking about a gain of 8 points. My goodness gracious, for Republicans, they are converting old former Democrats to their side of the ledger, as well as picking up new voters, registering new voters, and it absolutely paid off for them back in the 2024 election.
Yeah, translation, Democrats are more unpopular than they have ever been. I mean, what you're seeing there is precisely what we have been talking about on this channel for nearly 2 years now. The ultimate poll, besides an election, so I should say the penultimate poll, is voter registration trends. Voter registration trends and voter identification are the most accurate predictors for election turnout results. Gallup has found that voter identification surveys consistently come within literally tenths of a point in accurately predicting the popular vote over the last four election cycles. So back in 2008, Gallup found that voter identification favored Democrats +8, and Obama won the popular vote by 7.2. In 2012, the Democrat identity advantage was +4, and Obama won by +3.9. How's that for an accurate prediction indicator, right? That's a tenth of a point there. That's the pattern that we've been seeing in election after election after election. So it turned out that Gallup found a Republican +2 voter identity advantage for 2024. And they went back and forth between 3 and 2. They eventually signed with 2. And lo and behold, Trump wins the popular vote by 1.5. So voter identification, along with actual voter registration trends, are the two most accurate predictive indicators for how an election is going to turn out. And how are Democrats doing in this area? Well, all we have to do is look at the latest from the New York Times. They're calling it the Democrat voter registration crisis. Yes, crisis. The Times is admitting that Democrats are, in their words, quote, hemorrhaging voters and are facing a stampede away from the Democrat Party. In fact, every single state that tracks voter registration by party, all 30, in every single one of those 30 states, the Democrats are losing ground to the Republicans. I will say that again. In every single state, all 30 that track voter registration by party, the Republicans are crushing the Democrats. And they've been crushing them for the last 4 years. There's been a 4.5 million voter registration swing to the Republicans since 2020. And yet, this is the nonsense that we hear on Harry Enten's CNN on a daily basis. Check this out.
Oh, Jessica, I think the critiques of Democrats are fair. I think it's pretty clear that despite the fact that Donald Trump has cratered, Republican, their brand has cratered, the Democratic brand has not recovered. And it's because
What is the Democratic approval rating? Come on, be honest. Be honest, brother. Come on. What's the Democratic approval rating and what's Donald Trump's? Come on, man.
So Scott and I actually might agree.
Let me just correct one issue. Donald Trump is not cratered. If anybody's cratered, the Democratic Party, 33% in the Wall Street Journal poll. There's another one where they're at 19%. Trump, at worst, is in the mid-40s. The Republican brand is in a lot stronger position.
When I first wrote America Awaken, I truly believed I'd captured the full picture. You know, the woke cultural collapse, the rise of the parallel economy, and the roadmap back to faith, family, and freedom. But in just the last few months, the landscape has shifted, and I realized there was more to say, much more. That's why, for the first time ever, I'm hosting the America Awaken Masterclass, and in it, I'll reveal the unwritten chapters, everything I would add if I were rewriting the book today. And we were talking behind the scenes, political momentum, economic upheaval, and the emerging blueprint to take back our nation, raw, real, and completely unfiltered. If you've read the book, this takes you deeper. If you haven't, this is the perfect place to begin. Now, seats are limited. Click the link, claim your spot, and be part of the next great awakening. I'll see you in the masterclass. It's going to be awesome. Now, Scott is absolutely right in that assessment there. I mean, look at the latest from Harvard Harris. Hardly a conservative outfit here, right? Harvard Harris shows 54% of voters say Trump is doing a better job than Biden. 54. Stick that in your liberal pipe and smoke it, whoever that commentator was on CNN. Commentators even being kind. 54% think Trump is doing a better job than bumbling Biden. That's actually up 3 points from July. It's up. So according to Harvard Harris, a strong majority of voters are clearly happy with Trump. Now that 54% is a very interesting number because it mirrors Insider Advantage's numbers. Insider Advantage was one of the most single most accurate pollsters from the 2024 election. They have Trump's approval rating now standing at 54%, a plus 10 approval. And it's not just Insider Advantage. The latest from our good friend Mark Mitchell over at Rasmussen has Trump at 53%, 52.7 to be exact. So within the margin of error with Insider Advantage's numbers, which corresponds to the percentage that are far more pleased with Trump than with Biden. And whoever that dude was on with Scott Jennings there, he might want to check in with the Real Clear Politics polling aggregate, which averages out all the polling, the good, the bad, the ugly, you know, including those polls that told us that Kamala was going to win in a landslide. But even here, Trump is crushing it. He's got a solid 46% approval in the polling aggregate. And by comparison, he's polling higher than either George W. Bush or Barack Obama did at this time in their second terms. So again, if you want to claim that Trump's, you know, polling is cratering, you would have to admit the same thing even more so with Obama, which of course no Democrat would ever dream of doing. And it gets even better. despite all of the negative press, despite all of the hoaxes, the frauds, the fabrications, the 24/7 barrage of lies and deceit that we get from the legacy media, despite all the claims that Trump's polls are collapsing and that pollsters are hearing that Trump supporters are now regretting their vote, despite all that nonsense, and despite their unending fawning over Democrats and Kamala Harris in particular, that continues to this day, take a look at the latest from Harvard-Harris polling. Were the election held today, Trump would win by an even larger margin than in November. Trump won by 1.5% of the popular vote. According to this latest polling, he would win today, he was up against Cackles Kamala, he would win today by triple that. He would win by 6 points. In fact, Cackles Kamala is getting more bad news. According to the latest polling, California Democrats are all in with Gavin Newsom. They don't appear to want to have anything to do with Kamala, so they're telling her more or less to sit out 2028. The latest Emerson polling has greasy-haired Gavin at 25% support with Harris at just 19% support. So clearly most Californian Democrats recognize Harris would be a political disaster in the making yet again. And they do have some, you know, they do have some precedent. By if past is precedent, no presidential candidate who lost their first time around came back to win in the following election. That's just never happened. Trump, of course, won his first go at it in 2016. So he's a proven winner when he was going at it again for a third time in 2024. But we've never had a presidential candidate, to my knowledge, who ran, lost, and then ran again in the next election and won. Richard Nixon ran and lost in 1960, but he sat out in 64 and he came back to win in 68. So Kamala's 2020 campaign, again, if passed as precedent, is dead in the water, regardless of what she does. And by the way, so is Gavin Newsom's. He may, in fact, end up to be an even worse political disaster than Kamala, because at least Kamala had the power of the incumbency behind her in 2024. But Gavin ain't doing too well himself. I mean, take a look at his favorability ratings. This is according, again, to the latest Harvard-Harris poll. Trump trounces him 46 to 29. It's not even close. It's a plus 17. Again, remember, Newsom isn't even liked in California, let alone the blue wall states like Pennsylvania, Michigan, and Wisconsin. He is not a candidate that appeals to working class voters, no more than Mitt Romney did. And he's going to get absolutely clobbered in the swing states where working class voters are overly represented as compared to the electorate as a whole. JD is going to JD from Appalachia is going to absolutely crush him in the swing states. But when you combine these poll numbers with the voter registration trends, I'm sorry, Democrats, the pattern is absolutely clear. America is undeniably turning away from your party, and they are overwhelmingly embracing Trump, the Republicans, and America First. That is what's really happening in our nation. As you heard from Harry Enten, as I said earlier, the Democrats are a dying brand. The era of Trump is just beginning.
Thanks so much for listening to this episode of the Turley Talks podcast. Don't forget to subscribe, leave us a 5-star review, and share this episode with your friends. Help us defeat the fake news media and rank as the number one news and commentary podcast all over the world. Come back again tomorrow for another episode celebrating the rise of a new conservative age.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.